How you doing?
I'm good.
Good.
What? I guess Bill's just gonna have to be late. Where's my gavel? Somebody steal my gavel? Ah. Okay. I don't even need that. All right. Call this meeting to order. Could we have a roll call, please?
Bill Goggins? Laura Hine?
Here.
John Kepler?
Here.
Kathleen McMonagle? Betsy Pringle? Elsie Weber?
Here.
Rick Whitney?
Here. Okay. Next item is the reading and or approval of minutes. Anybody want to make a motion to dispense with the reading?
I move we dispense with the reading of the minutes for March 23rd, both the hearing and regular minutes.
Good. Is there a second? Please, someone.
Second.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. So, any additions or corrections starting with the joint hearing on March 23rd? Anybody see anything in there that doesn't look right? Hearing none, does somebody want to make a motion to approve the minutes as presented?
I move we approve the minutes of the open hearing.
Okay, is there a second?
Second.
Okay, it's moved and seconded to approve the joint hearing meetings on March 23rd, 2009. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Carries. How about the minutes of the regular meeting? Any additions, corrections?
The only one that I found is that I'm not sure if Lisa McConnell's name is spelled correctly, and I didn't go to the effort to check if there's two L's at the end or just one. It just looked off to me.
Yeah, the one L.
Yeah, I think
you guys know if
one L. It is.
It's two?
It's one.
One L.
Okay.
Okay.
Great. I learned something new.
Anything else? Any other?
That's all I saw.
It looked okay to me. Oh, somebody want to make a motion to approve?
I move we approve the minutes of March 23rd, regular meeting.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All in favor, say aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries. Okay.
May I make a comment here about minutes?
I'm going to give you an opportunity under council member reports and comments as soon as I announce the agenda.
But this has something to do with minutes.
Well,
I
we just
like
approved them.
I would like to compliment our secretary on the changes she's made in the minutes to make it easier for us to know who said what during the meetings.
Okay. Very nice. That could have gone under council member comments, but so for agenda, we've got council member comments and reports, work program review, requests from the audience. Looks like that's going to be a non-item. Mm-hmm. Then we take up the fast track zoning code amendments, Northwest University change of use permit, authorization to continue our existence for another 4 years. And with that, we're done. So. Do we have any council member reports or comments? John?
Yes, on April 1st, I believe it was, I attended the Houghton neighborhood meeting.
Good.
Elsie Weber, or not Elsie, I'm sorry.
Betsy.
Betsy.
Pringle. Pringle and I were both there. Mm-hmm. Sorry, Elsie. And a couple of items for that. They had a presentation by the architectural firm that is doing some work in the neighborhood. We both excused ourselves for that meeting, and then they phoned us, and then we came back for the balance of the meeting. Mm-hmm. Corporal Goguen gave a report on some of the police activity in the neighborhood,
mm-hmm.
Where there had been complaints about speeding, children activity crossing the sidewalks, and they wanted the police to take special attention and watch those particular areas, and different events in the neighborhood that the police look after. We got back about halfway through his presentation and didn't quite catch the whole thing, but I thought it was very nice that they made an appearance at the neighborhood meeting to talk with neighbors about anything. I thought that was actually very nice. Second item is we were told by Lisa that the neighborhood members actually got a letter that apparently was meant for the community council regarding the bubble for Northwest College.
Mm.
Did Lisa forward that on to you by chance?
No.
Oh, okay. It was a neighbor just questioning the conditions of the bubble. They wanted to know who would sign it off when it was put up. They wanted to know if the traffic study was at max capacity. They wanted to know if it would be used for event weekends. And they wanted to know when the master plan would be reopened for review. I just wrote down the bullets in the letter. Obviously didn't make any comment. The person that wrote the letter wasn't at the meeting. But Lisa made the comment that it was apparent that this person thought she was writing the community council that was voting on it as opposed to the neighborhood meeting. So I guess I would suppose that Lisa was going to get back with him to straighten that out. Obviously, we haven't heard, city hasn't heard anything from this person. We haven't seen anything from them. So,
just to let you know, I did meet with Mrs. McConnell. I believe it was after that meeting.
Okay.
Kind of went over questions with her. So
okay.
She was going to pass on that
wonderful
to the person. So.
Okay. And then apparently there were some issues with streetlights going on and off or not coming on at the right time in the Sandhurst neighborhood that was going to get passed off for somebody to check out. Other than that, apparently the state of the affairs in our neighborhood is just fine.
I have.
Thank you for attending. Yes.
One thing to mention, and I'm sure that probably everybody else knows this too, that in the reporter, a house on 60th Street was burglarized, which is in a very residential neighborhood, and it was done within a two-hour period while the woman was out shopping with her baby. So a little bit of vigilance with keeping our doors locked and keeping an eye on what's going on in your neighborhood, I think it'd be very smart.
Yeah, John's wife and mine were, they were actually working with the police on suspicious characters on our street just
days ago.
Days ago.
Yeah.
We're out there. Okay, any other comments, reports? Okay. Would anybody from the audience care to address the council? That would be the audience. Okay. Do we have anything on the work program, Nancy, or is that... Okay, so that, let's move to the fast track zoning code amendments. Did the city council decide to buy off on all our recommendations?
They did.
Wow, good for them. They're showing wisdom.
Did it just time out?
I'll go ahead and start. I think
okay.
The presentation materials aren't critical, probably, except for maybe one part. So tonight, the fast track zoning code amendments are before you for final action.
Mm-hmm.
And that's file number ZON09-0002. And these are minor zoning code amendments to promote clarity, eliminate redundancy, and/or correct inconsistencies. And there will be amendments to 22 chapters in the zoning code and one in the municipal code. As a reminder, we showed this, or you received a copy of the roster on January 15th, listing all of the different code sections. The roster was presented to the City Council on February 17th, and they modified it. And then you held a joint public hearing with Eric Shields on March 23rd, reviewing the modified roster and the actual language. You passed three motions that evening, which were in the minutes you just approved, and we edited the language in the ordinance or in the code amendments to reflect the motions that you passed and the planning director agreed with. Then last Tuesday night, the City Council adopted an ordinance 4193, which incorporated those changes. And so we're here for final action. So I thought I'd go through the changes since you last saw the language. So as you recall, there was a motion to clarify the density definitions, and those are on page 6 of your ordinance, of your packet. And I had actually sent that language to Mr. Kapler in advance. Good suggestions that we incorporated to hopefully make these definitions crystal clear. Mm-hmm. And then next, the reader board language. And just a comment that there will only be one electronic reader board in Houghton. So really, your issues only apply to that reader board at the fire station. So the changed language is in paragraph E, and we removed the limit on color for the electronic reader board where it said monochrome, amber, or red, and we change that to talk about what the reader board would say. As you recall in your discussion, you talked about prohibiting commercial language. We thought that it might be more positive to talk about what it could say. So we used the term public service announcements or city events.
I think that's actually even more clear.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
Right.
That's specific. Good.
So that's the change to that as a result of your comments.
Good.
And then, Mr. Kapler, you also had a comment about clarifying report and assessment for tree plans. So that language is on page 11 of the packet. Just let me know if you have any questions.
No. You're doing good.
And then finally, regarding public notice, I think it was B. Nahon that originally suggested that we retain language in the code incorporating the public notice sign standards. So that language is in the code in all the different chapters where it's needed. And we have kept in the requirement to have a notice of application posted on the sign, and that was as a result of your comments that the sign should have some notice posted, ideally with larger font. So we will go ahead and post the notice of application, and we're going to carefully look at the wording of a notice of application and make sure there's enough information in that to provide people information throughout the life of the project. So, and then actually I was talking to staff about this and they suggested, why don't we also require that a site plan be posted? So when possible, we will be posting a site plan on the sign for the project.
That's good.
And I think that will help people. If they're walking by, they can see a site plan and read the notice and go from there.
That's good.
And finally, we remove the requirement to collect bonds for public notice signs. Now, that may be a bit of new information for you, which I should perhaps explain. Do you remember that the code had language about collecting a security or a bond for public notice signs?
But we haven't done it for years, have we?
No, we haven't.
Yeah.
And B. Nahon had noticed that, and she thought it was a good idea to keep that in there. Well, as Elsie says, we have not collected bonds for years, and the reason is that in the past, the city used to paint the signs, and developers would come and get them from us, put them up on the sites, and then we had a bond or a security to ensure that they would return them. Mm-hmm. But a few years ago, we changed our method, and the developers now paint their own signs, so we don't need a bond we don't need to collect a bond, and that language should have been stricken from the code some time ago.
And you changed.
So it's truly a cleanup thing. So
okay.
That's, you know, responding to your comments, the changes that were made, and unanimously approved by the City Council.
And no other changes other than what we've just covered?
Not since you last saw it.
Good. All right. Thank you, Nancy.
Okay. I move we approve file number ZON09-00002 and ordinance number 4193.
Or you could say adopting resolution 2009-4, but
yeah,
well. We all know what we're talking about. All right, is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay, any discussion other than what we've already heard? You guys good with it?
Yeah.
All in favor of the motion? Say aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Thank you.
Yeah, you make a little note someplace. Thank the City Council for listening to us. Yeah. Okay.
Good suggestion. Yes.
Politely.
Nancy's thinking, I'm just walking away.
All right. Next item. Final action on the Northwest University change of use permit. This is something that actually was presented while I was gone, but I noted that you guys did approve the hearing examiner's, or you made the recommendations with the hearing examiner, and everybody seems to be on board for that. So let's hear the presentation.
Okay.
As briefly as possible.
I will give you the very brief presentation.
Okay.
Again, this was for a Process 2B permit, basically to allow Northwest University to occupy the former Seahawks facility and use improvements on the site, including the bubble that is used to cover the practice, one of the practice fields. And here is just a site plan of the subject property. This was required by a provision in the code that stated a change in use would require a 2B process. Staff reviewed the project for compliance with SEPA and concurrency, parking, land use buffers, and additionally, there was a question regarding the use of the bubble, and Northwest University requested the same conditions be applied to their use of the facility as the Seahawks. At the hearing, which was held on February 23rd, city staff and Dan Neary from Northwest University testified and answered questions from the hearing examiner and Houghton Community Council. After conclusion, the Houghton Community Council deliberated and drafted a recommendation of approval with conditions per staff's recommendation. On February 25th, the hearing examiner recommended approval of the application with conditions per staff's recommendation and the Houghton Community Council's. And finally, on April 7th, the City Council adopted Resolution 4756, approving Northwest University's change of use as recommended by the hearing examiner. So, as far as action that the Houghton Community Council should take on Resolution 4756, they have the option of choosing one of the following options. A majority of the membership could vote by resolution to approve this project as granted by the City Council. A resolution to approve the project is included in your packet. Or a majority of the entire membership could vote by resolution to disapprove the application. Or the Houghton Community Council could take no action, and Resolution 476 would go into effect within 60 calendar days of the City Council adoption date. And with that,
I move we approve Northwest University Campus 00020 resolution.
Yeah, Resolution 4756. Just
stick that in there. 4756.
Is there a second?
I will second.
Okay.
I have some discussion.
Yeah, I do want to hear a discussion.
Okay. Real quickly, back to the family that wrote the letter to the neighborhood group. I want to verify that the posting was done properly, so there aren't any issues with anything. And do you happen to know if that family was inside or outside the range of the posting?
You know, I don't know without looking at. I might be able to pull that up right here, real quick. Do you happen to know their address?
I'm sorry.
Okay.
I don't. I didn't write down their name.
Okay.
So it sounding like the answer would be.
Yeah, I mean, as far as sure. as part of the project, you know, we notify all property owners within 300 feet of the project, and we notify all residents that are adjoining the property. And all those notices were verified that they were sent out, both for, they pretty much got two notices. They got a notice of application for the project, and then they also got a notice of hearing for the project. So my hope is that if they were within that area, that they got noticed.
Okay. Thank you, Tony.
Any
other questions? That bubble's the only thing that concerns me, because I know that that was the one big controversy, and I wasn't around for the hearing, so I guess, you know, I know that it's being limited to Northwest College intramurals and athletic teams.
Oh.
But I thought that when that thing was approved, that it was with the understanding that it was only going to be for the Seahawks, and that it doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to extend. So was that discussed? And
that's what this does, is extend it to.
I'm aware that this extends it, but I'm wondering if this is like kind of going back on what was promised to the neighbors, because that's the bubble's been an issue.
Hey, Tony, remind me, as I recall during the discussion, that the bubble was part of the master plan.
Yeah.
And that in order to inflate the bubble, they need to come and get it's some sort of permit to inflate it, or
well, actually, within if it's within a certain time frame, within I believe it's
October
through February or January. If it's within that time frame, they don't need any
special. October 15th through January 31st.
Yeah,
it's basically they're free to use it.
Yeah.
For their teams, intramurals,
and outside of that window, if they wanted to, they would have to go approach the neighboring property owners, get approval from them, and then request that from the city.
That's right. What we discussed is if there was any discussion of them using it for anything other than their intramural activity,
no,
or the college
use. It would be strictly limited to Northwest College uses, and any use beyond that would have to be covered in a new master plan proposal.
And we discussed the operation costs of inflating and keeping it up, and I mean, it's just hideously expensive.
Yeah.
Tony, is there any lighting in that? I don't think there is there? In the bubble?
No. I'm sorry, Steve Sankey from Northwest University is here. Do you know if there is any lighting within that bubble?
No, I don't think there is.
Okay.
So it's only available for use during daylight hours?
That's my understanding.
I've
never seen any pictures or anything with lights in it at all.
Nor have I, living and driving by there.
Yeah.
I've never seen it. But my point being, is there anything that specifically restricts that? In other words, if Northwest College decided that it might be nice to be able to have its use, you know, during, because days are short in that time of the year, October 15th through January 31st. And if they decide, gosh, you know, our teams or our intramurals would sure like to be able to use it after it starts getting dark or dusk, we'd like to try to put in some sort of lighting in there. Is there anything that would stop that?
Well, that would, I mean, probably significant lighting like that would probably trigger a electrical or building permit associated with that.
Probably, or can you say it with certainty?
John may have a better idea than myself.
Even if it did, what would that trigger for the master use of the campus to get a building permit for electrical work? Well, how's that going to hit the radar screen?
That's a good question.
They want to bring forth a new master plan, so I doubt very much they're going to want to be putting a bunch of money.
You're assuming that a new master plan would be required just to have illumination of the bubble.
No, they want to, they're talking about trying to make a new master plan so they can use that land for something else. At least that's what they said at the hearing thing.
Well, down the road, all I'm looking at is until that may come about, as long as that bubble's being used, it should somebody get the idea to illuminate it. Is there anything that's going to stop it, or at least only allow it with our approval? Because if not, then I would have a problem with approving this. And because I'm thinking, if I'm the person that lives on the other side of the fence from that bubble, and I happen to have some friends who do live right on the other side of the fence of that bubble, and frankly, if there's, you know, I haven't even talked to him about this. I have no, but if suddenly this was getting used in the night by intramural teams, you know, that might be a little different. That certainly would be different than what the Seahawks have used it. And for them, and you could see how that could happen, at least I can see it, because Seahawks, you know, that's a daytime activity, you know, when they practice. They don't practice at night. But certainly they didn't there anyway. But for intramurals and college athletics, it's certainly conceivable that they might want to. It'd be, you know, really attractive to be able to use it in the evening hours or after dark in that time of the year. That's my concern. Is there a way to make sure that that doesn't happen without it going through some approval process?
Well, you know, the condition,
Do you have the use of the bubble? Because I've got it's on page six of their application, the very top of page six. So what I'm thinking now on the. Recalling from our conversation is if they wanted to put the bubble up outside of the identified time frame, they needed to get permission the way the Seahawks did. That's what I was thinking of.
But you're talking about months.
No, that's
months,
just, yeah, time. That's not hours of the day. That's anytime outside October 15th to January 31st.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's clearly stated in the conclusions on page 6.
Yeah, on page 7. Okay. You have to get support from neighboring property owners, and we would be notified of any approved use is what I read there.
Yeah.
Tell me what you're reading.
Well, it's page 11 of our packet and page 7 of the
One thought, if the bubble was illuminated and we have no indication that they're even interested in using the bubble, sounds like they don't have immediate plans to use it. No. They were just trying to reserve the right.
Yeah, and it was basically to continue, like I say, continue the use that the Seahawks used it for. Now, someone could say that, well, the Seahawks never illuminated it.
The other thing I was thinking is we do have provisions in the code about glare. If it were illuminated, which, again, we have no indication that it would be, but if it was and it was bothering a neighbor, then through enforcement we could deal with it.
Only if it technically violated the city code. You're not getting glare out of you. It's just going to be a, you know, a.
It's more of a glow than a glare.
You know, a glow, but it's not a glare.
Well, that's true. It is subjective.
Yeah.
You know, whether or not it bothers a neighbor, and then if it did, I'm sure that the university would work with us on that.
Nancy, here's my, and I'm not trying to be argumentative, mm-hmm. but I have to think in terms of, if I'm the person that's living on the other side of that fence,
mm-hmm.
am I comfortable with just trusting mm-hmm. that they're going to be responsive to my concern? If I don't like it, are they going to, or is it going to be something I got to fight? And you know, that's not a lot of people don't want to go through the legal action to deal with something like that.
Unfortunately, this didn't come up during the hearing when we could ask them and you know what their plans were in terms of illumination. At this point, it's a difficult issue to address.
Not really. We could make it a condition.
Yeah, but it's already gone to City Council and yeah. back to us. Right. We can't make any.
No, we either can disapprove have to approve it or and disapprove. Say why we're disapproving it and ask City Council mm-hmm. to modify their approval of it, providing that no illumination, that the use of that bubble does not include any illuminated use without going through an approval process.
Well, that's speculating that it has no illuminated use now. Because I certainly would have thought, boy, if the Seahawks are practicing and it's in the middle of November and it's a dark, doomy day, they need lights in there. So I was just kind of running forward on the idea that it was illuminated. We don't know.
All right, again, if you're the person that lives on the other side of that, and it's not just the illumination factor, it's one thing to have, it's you know, kind of the quiet enjoyment, the peaceful enjoyment of your property. If you got intramural teams, having played a lot of intramural athletics myself, I mean, it can get rowdy, yelling, foul language, blah, 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 and you know, probably not from Northwest College as far as the foul language, but definitely yelling and, you know, it's a different, you know, if something's happening during the day when most people are gone into work anyway, that's one thing during the day. If it's in the evening hours and you're hearing this, you know, activity going on, it's going to be, you know, I think it could conceivably cause problems. And that's all I'm getting at. I'm trying to think in terms of let's certainly not subject them to anything that they already haven't been subjected to, which that I'm pretty certain there's not been evening use of
with
that.
With the Seahawks? Yeah, I doubt it.
I really don't believe so.
Rather than restricting the lighting, if you want to do something,
hours.
Why not say hours, like not to be used after 6:30 or 7:00?
Well, if there was, you know what, if there was a restriction like that, although I don't, 6:30 is probably late, I'd maybe make it 5:00 or,
well,
or but maybe. Whatever, if there was some specific limit to the times that it could be used, that would obviate it. Then it's not an issue with the elimination. I'm just saying, my concern is that there isn't a protection.
Well, during this meeting, when it was noticed for the public to come and talk about this, there were two people here. Neither spoke, neither had a comment. One of the people that was here was Marie Totally. I identified her in the audience that she was an acquaintance, asked that if I needed to be recused. Nobody spoke up on that,
mm-hmm.
and one of her neighbors, of whom I did not know, so I don't know who that person was, but I know there were two people here, and that's all.
Okay.
Marie
would be the one person that I know that is a neighbor, so yeah. Marie herself didn't speak?
Nope, showed up. She sat right there with her other neighbor.
What worries me, John, is that maybe somebody didn't think through. You know, maybe the assumption is it's going to be used the same way that that the Seahawks have used it. Sometimes you don't think about, you know, well, what could this lead to?
Right.
That's my concern, because it sounds like this wasn't specifically addressed by either the hearing examiner or the council.
I don't think, I think there was some discussion on hours of operation, because we did identify that intramural sports would be primarily on weekends and the Seahawks were primarily weekdays. Light didn't come up, and again, I was running on the speculation that it's probably lit. I mean, a professional team in there practicing in the middle of winter on dark, dreary, rainy Seattle days.
And inside a bubble where it would be really dark.
I would just suspect it was, but I don't know. I was just assuming. And I'm just flipping through to make sure any other screens on weekend.
I just curious, do you guys think that I have a legitimate concern, or do you think that I'm being overly protective of or cynical or whatever?
I think that it's going to be fine the way it is, Rick, because I'm sure that Northwest College isn't about to do anything that's going to upset anybody in the neighborhood before they want to come back before us with another master plan. That's my opinion.
You think that's the ace in the hole?
I think that's it. Don't you think so?
And I'm just guessing that if the Seahawks had, in fact, used lights, which they probably did, I mean, I have a hard time. I don't have a lot of direct experience with the bubble myself because I just haven't known too much about it other than it was there. I've never really seen it. I've talked to a few people about it. But like John said, if there had been a concern, I would have anticipated that neighbors would have shown up and voiced some concern about that.
If
something happens and they have concern, as Elsie pointed out, they'll probably bring it to our attention, and that would not bode well for Northwest University if they're planning on making some changes and they want the neighbors'
support.
Exactly. So I'm kind of with Elsie on that.
And I believe the focus of this proposal was not the bubble.
Yeah.
The focus of the proposal was changing the facility to the school.
I totally get that, and I also don't have a problem with that. I just see the one possible issue being the bubble, because that was kind of the biggest complaint about the Seahawks' use of this space. So I'm just trying to make sure that we don't let what was a bit of an annoyance to the neighbors become a bigger annoyance. And then they say, why didn't you look out for our interests? How could you let this happen?
Well, I really don't think that's going to happen under the circumstances. I mean, if they weren't looking to get a new master plan, maybe. But the college is not going to be doing anything to upset the neighbors or to upset this council. Betcha.
So, Tony, I guess there would be two looming things in my head. Number one, should the college decide to inflate the bubble and then rent it out for activities?
They cannot do that. The master plan says no.
Right, it has to be a college event, period. Yes.
It has to be their event.
Their athletic practice
The master plan says absolutely they cannot sublease it or anything else.
Okay. Well, that was pretty clear on the language that you brought up on page 11 is the same language on page 6 in the old document.
Right.
So they're the same.
Yeah.
Right. Well, then condensed to one comment then. Were you able to find the conditions for the uses of the bubble in the original master plan?
Well, it's an interesting thing. There's actually an old article in here from 1987. It's from neighbors, and they're talking about, and their actually biggest issue was the blowers that are used to inflate the bubble, and there's, I don't know if there was no mention of it being lit up or anything to that effect. Now, other than that, there's really nothing. It's mostly dealt with the time frames, all these letters that I found, and the conditions that were outlined in one of the letters we just talked about. There were three main items: prohibition on helicopter landing at the facility, the requirement that practices be closed, and the requirement that inflated dome not be erected until October 15th. So those seem to be the three main items. And that was a letter from Joe Tovar, which was a result of some complaints that the city had received regarding the use of the bubble.
Any other discussion? There's a motion on the floor to approve the resolution, whatever it is.
4756.
That's it. All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Thanks for accommodating me. If I'd been here for the first hearing, I may not have taken your time.
That's all right. You had good points.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. When the master plan comes up, we'll nail some of those down there. Right?
Thanks, Tony. Okay. And then the most controversial matter before us is authorization of us to continue for another 4 years. Anybody have any thoughts on this? Anybody think that's not such a good idea?
Oh, come on, Rick.
We have a motion.
We are. I will move that we approve resolution 2009-6.
Second.
Continue.
Okay. Any discussion? All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. You're stuck with us for another, subject to the electorate. Yeah. Right.
May I make a couple comments from the city clerk?
Sure.
Sure.
Next week, she will be advertising for committees to prepare pro and con statements for the brochure that goes to voters.
Right.
You mean the voters' pamphlet?
Thank you.
Okay.
The voters' pamphlet. And you will receive an email about that, about those committees.
Okay.
Candidate filing is between June 1st and June 5th. It's to be done online. And you should see the King County election website, kingcounty.gov/elections.
Okay.
And if you have any questions, you can always call Kathy Anderson, our city clerk.
Okay.
King County dot what?
.gov/elections.
Slash what?
Elections.
And we have, so we need to put that online ourselves.
You're responsible for that.
By the 5th of the next month.
We have to do it between the 1st and the 5th?
She said candidate filing is between June 1st and June 5th, but you should look at that website and get all the information.
Well, that's a narrow window.
Yeah.
Has it always been that short?
I've never done it, so I don't know.
Okay. We've always done it by mail before.
All right.
Never done it this way.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Sorry this meeting took so long. Meeting adjourned.
Jeez. Well, split the difference. I said by 8, you said by 7.
Well, if Rick hadn't got so hot about the
line. I know, he could have had a record shirt.
He's doing all right.